Today is Thursday when we read from your letters, and this week we had big responses about two big pieces that we broadcast.
Our Labor Day story about Charlie Barnett's wild 1974 hitchhiking trip across Nebraska prompted this email from Nicholas Jenkins. What absolute joy it was to hear about Barnett's adventure with Junior McGee and the girl, Mr. Jenkins writes. I was about 4 years old in 1974 and living in Hong Kong. But somehow the spirit of Junior and his girl just touched a nerve in me. With the sobering one-year anniversary of September 11th arriving, it is pleasant to think that terrorism was once defined in this country as hijacking Coke machines and stealing Navajo change purses from gas stations.
But Sarah Ruona of Penhook, Virginia, called the story drivel. She writes, ATC was irresponsible to air shoplifting 101. In our society, where wrong is right and right is wrong, all things considered appears to be encouraging stealing, racing at 150 miles per hour, and commenting that the driver was such a joyful person. Makes me sorry I had NPR on.
The day after Labor Day, we broadcast the story of Lanier Phillips, a black sailor on the USS Tuxton when it sank in 1942. He told about how he was rescued and welcomed by people in St. Lawrence, Newfoundland.
Sam Rickless of San Diego writes, your story of Mr. Phillips' transformation from a poor Georgia farm boy to an accomplished Navy sonar technician conveyed largely in his own voice, a voice that made me feel and understand the searing pain of oppression and the gratitude of a black man treated as a real person for the first time in his life, pushed me to the edge of tears. Would that I could take my children to visit Mr. Phillips so that they might behold the true face of courage and humanity.
Many people wrote to comment on Joanne Silberner's report about a computer program that's designed to recreate the hallucinations and disorientation of schizophrenia. Carolyn Paulin of Oak Park, Illinois, called the report brilliant, and she went on to say, I will now have much more understanding and sympathy for the problematic lives of my few acquaintances that suffer from schizophrenia.
Mike Boris of Fishers, Indiana, seized on part of our interview about the practice of splitting double-dosage pills to save money. He writes, the researcher in this story could not comment on why pharmaceutical companies charge nearly the same price for 40 milligrams and 20 milligram tablets of the same medication. He attributed it to tradition.
Mr. Boris has a different explanation. The vast majority of the cost, and therefore the price, of most manufactured goods lies in the manufacturing process, not the ingredients. The profit goes to pay for the research and development that discovered the drug in the first place. This is the part that generic manufacturers can leave out, not having had to develop the drugs they produce.
We received this emailed correction from Renee Weeks. I really enjoyed your story on the new Los Angeles Cathedral, but you were wrong on one important point. This is not the first cathedral dedicated in this country in 30 years. That honor goes to the Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Dodge City, Kansas, which was dedicated a few months back.
Finally, Douglas Grotheis, a philosophy professor in Denver, wrote to dissuade us from trying to be funny. I've been listening to your thoughtful and slower-paced and more sober program since the mid-1970s, so I've been dismayed to hear humor segments three times on terrorism, and today on Hillbillies Overseas, a National Lampoon radio program from the 1970s, something that should have stayed in obscurity. Please stop. Everything doesn't have to be entertaining. Please prove Neil Postman wrong. I thought at least on All Things Considered, we were not amusing ourselves to death.
Nothing funny about our address at least, atc@npr.org, or about this sober reminder. When you write, tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.